A Call to the Watchman. Sanitarium, California, August 8, 1910. I have a special message to bear. The Lord is to be our light, and we are to reflect the light He gives us. We must be sanctified, soul, body, and spirit. Every moment we must be on our guard, lest we be overcome by our adversaries. We have been made to feel very sad as we have seen some who were formerly fellow laborers yielding to the deceptions of Satan and turning away from the truth. But we must be of good courage. God will help us if we put our trust in Him. We must look to Him for wisdom and not become confused. The brethren and sisters who know the truth are not to draw largely upon the ministers for help. Let the messengers of God be left as free as possible to labor for the multitudes who are unwarned. To my brethren in positions of responsibility, I would say, the needs of the large cities have been kept before you. You have had message after message concerning your duty. And now, what will you do that the charge of the Lord may be obeyed? Upon all the Lord is calling. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As we begin active work for the multitudes in the cities, the enemy will work mightily to bring in confusion, hoping thus to break up the working forces. Some who are not thoroughly converted are in constant danger of mistaking the suggestions of the enemy for leadings of the Spirit of God. As the Lord has given us light, let us walk in the light. We are not to be satisfied with a cheap experience. We need to examine ourselves to see where we fail, that on these points we may gain precious victories. All boasting is sinful. Let us put away all self-exaltation and heed the invitation of Christ. He says, "Come unto me, copy my character, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." When professed Christians manifest Christ-likeness by revealing His meekness, then they will give evidence that they are born into the kingdom of Christ. The workers in the harvest field are the Lord's messengers. They are to help one another. May the Lord help us that we may obtain great victories. Then, knowing the source of our strength, let us hold fast, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Satan is at work with vehement power to divert the minds of the multitudes, so that they shall not understand and obey the truth. He will entangle them with every snare that he can devise. The picture of his deceptive work has been presented to me again and again for many years. But his supreme effort is to ensnare and deceive church members who have had long experience and ministers of the gospel of Christ. With all their ingenuity, Satan and the armies under him are working with their superior knowledge to deceive, if possible, the very elect. By self-exaltation, we become weak and invite the temptations of the enemy. Our safety is to practice heartily the truths of the Bible. By humbling ourselves before God, we invite His saving power. Let every minister standing in defense of the truth realize that he is to do his work under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember that though they have lost their first state, the fallen angels are wise above the wisdom of earth, for they have been in the councils of heaven. I have felt a heavy burden that our leading ministers shall be found faithful to their trust, wise and discriminating. If a wrong spirit is cherished by those who are appointed to be light-bearers, the carrying of the soul-saving messages to the multitude will be hindered, and souls will be lost. What is needed now is thorough conversion and wholehearted consecration. He who is closely connected with Christ will be strengthened to withstand human and satanic devisings. We are living in perilous times, and it is not in the order of the Lord that our ministers shall dwell upon questions about which there is known to be a serious difference of opinion among themselves. Let nothing be done rashly, in a manner that will arouse prejudice. Let no one act on impulse, putting forth publications of such a nature as to weaken the hand of God's messengers and close doors to the entrance of the truth. Christ was the majesty of heaven, the only begotten Son of God. Yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ clothed his divinity with humanity, that he might encircle humanity. Cannot his followers be willing to submit to some things that they cannot clearly understand, in order to be able to help those who need help? Our cities are to be worked. To devote our efforts to other worthy enterprises and leave unworked our cities, in which are large numbers of all nationalities, is not wise. A beginning is now to be made, and means must be raised that the work may go forward. With mighty power, the cry is again to be sounded in our large centers of population: Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Money is needed for the prosecution of the work in New York, Boston, Portland, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Chicago, St. Louis, New Orleans, and many other cities. In some of these places, the people were mightily stirred by the message given in 1842 to 1844, but of late years, little has been done compared to the great work that ought to be in progress. And it seems difficult to make our people feel a special burden for the work in the large cities. I appeal to our brethren who have heard the message for many years. It is time to wake up the watchman. I have expended my strength in giving the message the Lord has given me. The burden of the needs of our cities has rested so heavily upon me that it has sometimes seemed that I should die. May the Lord give wisdom to our brethren, that they may know how to carry forward the work in harmony with the will of the Lord. Signed, Ellen G. White.